And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning, and you're very welcome along to the 9 to noon show here in Highland Radio on this Monday, the 22nd December 2025. It's 4 minutes past nine, and we are in Christmas week. I do hope you're very well indeed. I hope you did have a nice weekend. If you were off, that you were able to relax and get what you needed doing done, or if you were working, that it all went smoothly for you. Interestingly, I think if we have time at some point this week, if not today, we're talking about people being respectful to staff at this time of year. You know, whether it's in retail or if it's in hospitality or what have you, there's people working really, really hard and often to try and get a few bob together or pay the bills like the rest of us. And it's just important to be nice. Manners are easy carried and people are under an awful lot of pressure, and you never know what other issues people are carrying in their life while keeping a smile outwards as well. So just a wee thing, and I'm speaking to myself when I say that. I'm not being preachy, just to remember, I suppose, that there are people working very, very hard this time of year in really quite difficult jobs. Right, we have an interesting 3 days for you. Obviously, we're going to keep you up to date with anything that needs talked about around the world, around the county, around the country. But we also have the cream of the crop of entertainment and conversation and fun for you as we ease our way into Christmas. Just to let you know, later on, we've got live music from Ellie Ward, Sarah McLaughlin. We've got a quiz. We've got the Rosses Community School Choir. We're going to talk history, Christmas history, with Dr. Joe Kelly. Sarah Arnold's with us. So after 10 o'clock, it's all systems go for fun. And also, too, you know, what we do throughout the course of the year, and it's very important that we do it, is that we sort of platform issues that you might have, right? So it could be something to do with health. It could be something to do with housing. And these are all very serious issues, and I'm not playing them down in any way, shape or form. But we do, even though people don't realise, often talk about the good stuff that goes on. But I really want to push that this week. So if you've had any experiences in shop, in hospital, in life, good customer service, a person that went above and beyond for you, maybe whatever it might be, I don't want to plant seeds of ideas, but you get the impression. So rather than the complaint line being open today, which is no harm in that, right, we do that and you can still text us in, the compliment line. Let's open the compliment line. So if you've got anything that you want to pass on positive, let us know, 086 60 25000. So maybe it's just a nice experience you had. Maybe someone saved the day for you. You know yourself. It doesn't have to be recent. It can be at any stage. So spread the love and pass it forward. Also, if you are lucky enough maybe to have friends and family home, feel free to say hello to them. We'll have plenty of opportunity to do that over the next 3 hours. I was out and about yesterday and chatting to various people who had family home from England, the United States, Australia, different places. And it's lovely. It's lovely. It's just that time of year. I understand and recognise, and we all do, that it's a tough time for some, and maybe people are missing people that can't come home. But there's a lot of joy out there as well, and hopefully that joy helps the others through them feeling a little bit down. So any positivity, any good news, any acts of kindness, any good customer service, anything like that there, pass it on to us. The compliment line is open, 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 074 91 25000. As always, today's show is a completely visual show. We broadcast this show every day, but maybe you're off work today, maybe you're off school today, and you want to throw us up on your smart TV in your front room or in your kitchen, or maybe you have a Fire Stick. Well, how do you watch not just the show, but parts of the show, i.e. all the live music and all that? You'll be able to see it live. Well, you open up the YouTube app and type in Highland Radio Ireland, and you'll see we're streaming live there. And it means you can watch the show as you would any TV show on your smart TV or Fire Stick. We're also on Facebook and X across your mobile devices as well. The Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, they have a draw which is being made today. Paddy Rooney, a good friend of the show, and Alan McCrae are going to be in. So if you have an interest in the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital draw, if you're in it, stay tuned for that, and indeed watch that, because that's coming up between now and 10. And as I say, a whole host of fun and entertainment, as well as any bits and bobs that we need to keep you up to date with. And let's have a quick look at the papers. A new general medical services contractor has been appointed for Bayview Medical Practice in Derry, we're told. This is in the Derry News. Dr. Ryan Power and Partners will take on the management of Bayview Medical Practice with effect from January 1st and will be renaming the practice Creggan Family Practice. Okay, on to the Nationals and the Irish Times this morning. This is something we talk about in this show all year round, but it's astonishing, the headline, incentives needed to boost supply of teachers. Someone's actually come up with this as a plan, that we need to make terms and conditions and incentives better for teachers, because that's what everywhere else is doing and we're not doing it. But anyway, it's astonishingly the front page of a news story, and someone's actually put this information together. The new initiatives, or new initiatives, including targeted bursaries for teachers and a universal teaching qualification, will have to be considered to resolve recruitment challenges faced by schools, particularly around Dublin, the Department of Education believes. Briefing documents prepared by the Department for new Minister for Education, Hildegard Nocton, on her appointment last month noted 1,228 unfilled positions in primary schools, 621 at second level, and 60 in special education, according to previously unpublished figures. But the new education minister has received a report saying you have to make it easy, you have to make it better for nurses to work here. Okay, so someone got paid probably 120 grand for that, I don't know. On to the Independent, and this is a really important one. Very sadly, two more families have lost someone over the weekend. The total of lives lost is in excess of very close to 180 across the country this year. It's an astonishing, for the most part, avoidable figure. And I think when we're out and about every day, we see, and maybe sometimes we're guilty of it ourselves, where we are distracted for a moment or we're speeding or whatever it might be, right? Let's not be too judgy, but we see it every single day, don't we? That's an accident waiting to happen. That person, you know, that person's going to kill himself. That person's going to take someone out with her. We see it all of the time, and we're coming into a period now where any loss, a loss at any time of the year, is terrible. But you can imagine what it would do to your loved ones, your families, your daughter, your sons, your dad, your mom, if something bad were to happen to you this time of year or any time of the year. So it's, the onus is on all of us to help avoid the majority of these completely avoidable deaths. And the Gardaí are doing their bit. They're going to be out and about. You will say you won't see them, but the bottom line is they set checkpoints up here and then they move, because there's other people telling others where the checkpoints are. So they're there for a moment and they jump onto the next spot and they jump onto the next spot. And the chances of you encountering one in a county of our size can seem remote, but they are catching people all of the time. And please be careful of the next day, because they do target the next day as well, when people are effectively still under the influence. But anyway, I'll read on here. Road deaths have reached 184 with 10 days still left in the year. Safety campaigners warned Ireland could suffer 200 fatalities during 2025. The country has now recorded 20 deaths more than for the same period last year, an increase of over 12%. Gardaí are currently conducting the largest road safety blitz ever mounted for the Christmas period, with over 10,000 checkpoints especially expected to be in place. So if you, I don't know how we can sort of try and emphasise this, if you think of a 38-seat bus that the kids go to school in, you're talking about potentially five of them full of people who are no longer here with us. So that's five big school buses, the 38-seaters, five busloads of people that may have died by the end of 2025 on our roads. And as I say, those are deaths that on most occasions are completely avoidable. So imagine outside wherever you are now, your work, your home, five full school buses. And that's and then you can multiply that out as to the grief and emotion and the sadness and the loss, and you'll have need many, many, many more buses to house that. On to the Irish Daily Mail now, and the Epstein, or some of the Epstein files, were released towards the end of last week. What is it? Epstein is a prolific person trafficker, woman trafficker, paedophile, convicted. He died mysteriously in prison. He had tens of thousands of documents, photographs, messages, whatever, implicating some of the most powerful, predominantly but not exclusively, men in the world. They were engaged for the most part in going to his island, where an awful lot of young girls were trafficked to from all over the world, many from Europe as well. And for some reason or other, you can work it out yourself, very powerful people in this world, primarily men, have been trying to keep these documents a secret. Eventually, they had to be released. They've been released in part, but to protect people, they're blacked out, which is crazy in this day and age. And the one thing there should be no political allegiance in is the protection of children. But unfortunately, still, some people blindly believe people who are clearly involved are not involved because of their political beliefs. It's crazy. Well, this is quite suspicious. A photo of Donald Trump flanked by women in bikinis is among more than a dozen Epstein files that was suddenly pulled from public view at the weekend, leading to claims of a cover-up. After releasing 300,000 pages from the files on Friday, the US Justice Department has since removed a number of them. Many of the files had already been heavily redacted, with nearly 700 pages entirely blacked out and women's faces obscured in photos, leading to accusations that the public is not being given the full story. So Bill Clinton, Bill Gates, loads of other people, Andrew, that fellow that used to be a prince, loads of these rich people that were known associates of Epstein were featured in these pictures. Donald Trump wasn't, even though he was a known friend of Epstein. Accidentally, in the background, some pictures of him with women in a drawer were released, and now they've disappeared again. So, you know, as I say, I don't know who you support, but that is that's shady. In the Irish Daily Star this morning, Irish activists who travelled as part of the Gaza aid flotilla have said an Irish naval ship should accompany the civilian fleet next time. What do you think about this? Do you remember they all went in a flotilla to Gaza? They want an Irish vessel. We don't really have one to spare, but it is an important issue, of course. The group also expressed concerns that the Department of Foreign Affairs carried out a risk assessment for Irish citizens taking part in the flotilla protest and found that there was a possible risk to life. Of course, the activists are to formally request that a Defence Forces vessel accompany the next flotilla mission, comparing it to Irish naval vessels working in the Mediterranean in the mid-2000s to help reduce or rescue stranded migrants fleeing Europe. Would you be in favour of the Irish Navy joining effectively that flotilla? The Sun tells us that the state is facing a multi-million euro COVID compo bill. It comes as legal cases have been filed against the HSE for wrongful deaths during the pandemic. So at some point you still have people claiming that the whole thing was a hoax, and others now saying it was so serious that the HSE is culpable for death. So far, 78 such claims have been issued against the HSE and are being dealt with by the State Claims Agency, which deals with all legal actions against government-owned institutions. The number was revealed by the Health Minister, Jennifer Carr-McNeill, following a parliamentary question from the ANPD leader, Padraig Tobin. And finally, maybe some good news in terms of conflict. You would hope that we could at least have a pause in world conflict at this Christmas time so people can get the most of it. But anyway, peace talks on a US proposed plan to end the nearly four-year war in Ukraine were pressing on constructively in Florida, Moscow said, while the Ukrainian president said they were moving quickly. The talks are part of the Trump administration's month-long push for peace that also included meetings with Ukrainian and European officials in Berlin last week. I don't think it's going to happen, but I would love to think that there's going to be some sort of a breakthrough. Right, 0866 20 5000, that's the WhatsApp, that is the text number. You can give us a call too on 0749 120 5000. Email comments at highlandradio.com, or like Charlie and Siobhan. Charlie says, today starts Christmas week and I would like to say a very Merry Christmas to everyone listening and to Greg and all at Highland Radio. Thanks for entertaining us and keeping us up to date with all the Donegal news over the last 12 months. Thanks very much, Charlie. And I believe I received a card from you this morning, Charlie. I might be having a word, but thank you very much indeed. And also, Siobhan is with us as well. Siobhan's waiting on a phone call from you to appear on your show. I don't know. We'll have to double check what that's about. And I can't believe we're having to go back to Buncrana here. Do you remember on the show last week or the week before, Nicholas Crossan was on and he said, please, you know, if you're out and about enjoying yourself, just have respect for the Christmas decorations in Buncrana, because a lot of effort, a lot of money, and a lot of love goes into getting them up and making the town look so beautiful. And we're going to focus on the positives too. This is a very small fraction of the lots of people that are out and about enjoying themselves in Buncrana. But yes, unfortunately, the Christmas tree was targeted. Horseplay, silliness, I don't know how you'd describe it. Dermot Doherty, chair of the Buncrana Lights, the Buncrana Christmas Lights, thanks for joining me.
How are you doing, Greg? Thank you.
Come here, what happened at the weekend?
Hello?
Yeah, go on, sorry. What happened at the weekend, Dermot?
There was a few youngsters got over the barriers, climbed up the tree and ripped out, you know, the branches, which all have lights on them. So it costs about €75 per branch, so there's about four or five branches destroyed this time, which wasn't bad compared to some other times. But definitely, listen, the guys are only out, they're having a bit of crack, and we want them to go out and enjoy themselves, enjoy Christmas. But it's not safe being in there. If they start climbing up that tree and fall, you know, anything can happen. They could get electrocuted, they could fall, break their neck, anything. So we would prefer if they stayed out, because, as you says, there's a lot of time and effort and a lot of money involved in getting this sorted. We start there in October, the start of October, to set up the lights up the street and set up the tree. It takes about 3 days. So there's a lot of effort and a lot of time from a lot of people put into it, and all the, you know, people raising money. But what we don't want to do is spend all the money that we raise firefighting damage, you know.
We want to have nice things, right? And we can only have nice things if the time, the money and the effort is respected. I sometimes get accused of being a little bit light, a little bit soft, right? But I don't think these lads went out with any intention to do anything wrong. But they are quite identifiable. And really what you're saying is before this is moved to Ancona Síochána, because you have to try and recoup and discourage, right? That if they come forward and if they come forward and compensate for the damage that's being caused, it'll go away. And I think that's really the message today, isn't
exactly
it?
That's exactly right. Like, the last thing we want to do is name and shame or do anything like that there. That's not what we're about. We just want the town looking well for everybody, even for visitors coming to the town, you know. So, we want to try and improve it every year. But if we have to keep spending, like last year it was €4,000 we had to spend in repairs. So if we were able to put that into the town every year by bringing on new decorations and stuff, it would make it so much better. But if the fellas, and it's not just fellas, there's girls as well.
Yeah.
You know, they go on, they wreck around them, and, you know, I get it, the drinks on, the what's out and all that there, but then the next day, they'd be on most of them usually are on the phone, oh, that was me, sorry, and they pay for the damage, you know, so I know there's no badness intended.
Yeah, okay. So the message is, you know, it's pretty obvious, you'll recognise yourselves. No one's judging you too harshly, but come forward, learn your lesson, sort it out, and it works as a discouragement, Dermot, I think, really.
If they wanted to come and join the committee and help us put the tree up instead of taking it down, it'd be great.
Well, you know what? Maybe they will. Hey, come here, what's the crack around Buncrana?
Maybe.
What's the crack around Buncrana, Dermot?
Oh, it's great.
Obviously, the place is great buzzing,
buzz, great buzz, yeah. Ah, oh, it's buzzing. It's looking brilliant too.
Yeah.
You know, we have some spares there, so we were able to get it all sorted, and it's still looking amazing.
Yeah.
But this is Christmas week now, so we hope now that they don't, you know, just silly. You know, there is silliness and they're playing about and they don't mean any harm, but we want everybody to be safe and enjoy the Christmas. So that's what we're really trying to get to the point of here. It's not even just about the money. Money is important, but we want everybody to be safe and not to be unwrecking and destroying.
Oh, no, there's electricity there. If someone fell and cracked their head, that's why there's a barrier there. And
There's barriers there with CCTV cameras, with signs up saying there's CCTV cameras. So But as I say, everybody, we were all young and stupid at the time, but that's the way.
Some of us are old and stupid, Dermot.
Well, that's true too. I seen you there the other. I seen you there the other morning. I was on buying me tickets. I hope I won that chair now tomorrow.
I thought you were going to say I saw you there one morning at 2 o'clock, and you were.
No. Have I seen you hanging on a tree at 2 o'clock in the morning, pulling wires down? Oh. I think what's wrong.
I know. Come here. Listen. I hope you're lucky. That's for the car, isn't it? It's in tomorrow. Listen, Dermot. Thanks very much. Happy Christmas to you and all, and keep up the
thanks very much. Happy Christmas, Craig.
A happy Christmas indeed, and. As I say, I defy anyone not to have made mistakes when they were younger. We've all done it. And it's actually, ironically, sometimes it's driven by happiness. You know, sometimes people do things and it's driven by anger or badness. And then sometimes we make bad decisions because of joy and happiness and caught up in it. It's no excuse. And some people are going to say maybe me and Dermot are being a bit soft. But anyway, these two lads jumped into the tree. They shouldn't have done it. They could have got hurt. They weren't. And the Buncrana Christmas Lights Committee are happy enough for it to all go away if they come and assist with the repair costs there as well, which I don't think is terribly unreasonable. Right, just to remind you, coming up after 10 o'clock, we have a real treat for you. In fact, really, this is probably the last hour of seriousness this Christmas week, unless, of course, there's something very pressing that we must go to. Shortly, Paddy Rooney and Alan McRae are going to be in. They are going to be doing the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital draw. It's really significant, and hopefully you can tune in, stay tuned into that, or watch it, in fact, if you wish. Ellie Ward was in with us. Ellie Ward kind of broke out musically, you could say, certainly in terms of this programme, as the Mary from Dunloe this year. Very talented girl. She's going to be in performing two songs for us. We've got Sarah McLaughlin, who is also a wonderful performer. And we've got a quiz as well. We're going to be giving some stuff away. We've got the Rosses Community School Choir, and we've got Sarah Arnold. And we've also got Dr. Joe Kelly talking history as well, which I think is hilarious that Caroline's allowed me 10 minutes to talk history with Dr. Joe Kelly. Obviously, that's not going to happen, right? You know, I'm not going to stick to 10 minutes. It's impossible. Right, get your requests, your dedications, your positive news, your acts of kindness into us. Maybe you've got family home, 086 60 25,000. That's the WhatsApp and text. Hi, Greg. Merry Christmas to you and Aisling and the boys and all the clan at Highland Radio. Could you please say happy birthday to my beautiful fiance, Paul Kelly, Gaddy Duff Clonmany, love Elaine, and we're engaged 7 years today. Wonderful. It is 7 years. Okay, well, maybe. Is it? Is there a date? Can I come? That'll all come when the time is right. Isn't that right? Listen, I hope you have a lovely Christmas together. Lots of love to you and yours as well. Keep your dedications coming in. It's that time of the year, isn't it? 086 60 25,000.
Watch the show live now on YouTube, Facebook, and at highlandradio.com.
Today's show was brought to you by the Highland Radio Country Cabin Getaway. Last few places now remaining for our February break at the Slave Russell Hotel, with dinner, bed and breakfast and live country music from me, David James, Jimmy Buckley, Dominic Kerwin, John McNichol, Louise Morrissey and lots more. Call us to book or visit highlandradio.com.
Bravado, bravado, drink it every day. Old flat white mocha please and maybe a latte. Hey, bravado, bravado, drink it every day.
There's plenty to sing about this Christmas at Bravado. We've brought a festive feel to your favourite coffee, tasty as ever, but with a sprinkling of Christmas magic. Find your nearest store at bravado.com. Deliciously different.
For the perfect menswear gift this Christmas, Watson Menswear in Letterkenny are open every day to Christmas Eve, with late night shopping on Thursdays and Fridays until 8. Choose menswear from names like Superdry, Sixth Sense, Mishmash, Penguin and Tommy Bow. A great selection of fashion, formal wear, footwear and jackets, all at Watson Menswear on Main Street, Letterkenny, and online at watsonmenswear.com, where next day delivery is guaranteed right up to the 22nd. There's bingo every Monday night at Halfway House, Burnford. Doors open at 7.30 with eyes down at 8.30. €2,500 must go. The snowball is now €2,100 on 45 numbers or less. If you're not in, you can't win. That's Halfway House Bingo, Burnford, tonight at 8.30.
Fly Donegal to Glasgow with Loganair. Convenient return flights every Friday and Sunday, including a 15kg checked bag. Book your Glasgow getaway now at loganair.co.uk. Terms and conditions apply.
Here at Braden's House Home Interiors, we would like to turn your house into a home this year. We have a wide range of furniture and flooring for all your needs in both our Moville store and our Bergen store. We offer a free delivery service to the whole Northwest, and we won't be beaten on price. Both stores have easy parking. So for all your quality furniture and flooring at a great price, call into Braden's Furniture Moville or Bergen now.
Mace Ballymacool is now open at the Gatehouse Ballymacool, Letterkenny. We're here for you 7 days a week from 7am to 10pm. Pop in for a fresh Bewley's coffee, enjoy your hot and cold deli, and explore our full grocery and bakery range, plus off licence. Mace Ballymacool, your new local convenience store, now open.
We're joined on the programme now by Jack, and we're talking about unregistered landlords in Donegal. Not exclusive to Donegal, but that's where we're broadcasting from. Morning, Jack.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Now, if you rent out, you are obliged legally, aren't you, or are you, to register with the Residential Tenancies Board? There's no wiggle room in relation to that.
The landlord is.
Yeah, okay.
The landlord is within 30 days of the tenancy starting.
All right, and what's been your experience?
He must notify the RTB with all the details about the tenants and their PPN numbers and names, dates of birth, all that type of thing.
Understood.
It's the law. Okay. He has to register a rental property.
So talk to me about your experience,
My wife and I rented a house in Donegal 2019, and we had a very amicable relationship with the landlord. We didn't see them very often, but they did call occasionally, and at Christmas they call around and give us a €50 gift voucher and that type of thing. And it was very, very amicable, no problems. We were good tenants, paid our rent every week, but we were there for 6 years very happily. We both love Donegal, although we're not from Donegal, obviously from my accent. But late last year, he said he wanted to call and see me, and I said, fine. And he said that he wanted to talk outside the house because he was aware my wife was pretty ill. She has a number of health issues. Mm. And I said, that's fine. He called, and he said that basically he was selling the house. He wanted to supplement his retirement income. And it was a shock because, obviously, and at the time, I need my, as I say, I'm my wife's full-time carer. She has various health issues. And at the time, I wasn't terribly well. I'm in remission now from prostate cancer. I had major surgery, so I didn't argue the point with him. I just was shocked. So I went and broke it to my wife, and I started looking for a house right on the spot. And it went on from why we could not find a house anywhere at a rent we could afford because we're old-age pensioners. I'm 76. My wife is 75. And we searched everywhere, and it got to the point where I had to search outside of Donegal, Galway, places like that, Cork, and I still couldn't find anywhere. So it dragged on for months, and my wife was absolutely convinced we were going to end up on the street. Mm. And I sort of put a brave face on it, but I was beginning to think that myself.
Yeah.
Now, he wasn't putting pressure on me. He would ask every so often, have you found something? Have you found something? But eventually, out of pure luck, I would call it, a friend of mine in Donegal here put me onto a house that wasn't even advertised. And luckily we got that house. Now, it meant a reasonable increase in our rent and a lot of expense to move and all that type of thing, but we were happy to do it. And I sort of left it at that. But we were under extreme stress for months, I can tell you that. Yeah. And I was having symptoms that they weren't to do with my prostate cancer. I knew that because I'm very well informed on what to look out for with prostate cancer. And I was having my regular PSA tests every 3 months. But after I left, I still became fairly sick to the point where last June, my GP saw me and he sent me straight into Letterkenny Hospital.
Mm.
And they took me in right away and I was there for 4 days. And then they came back to me and they said, you have a rare blood cancer, which is basically incurable.
Mm.
But now, let me stress, there is no way that anything the landlord did gave me.
No, I understand that. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
On earth. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that the stress that my wife and I went through certainly made my symptoms worse.
Mm.
And at that point, I still didn't want to get involved in an argy-bargy for my wife's sake because she's pretty sick and so am I. But then subsequent to that, somebody put me on to something that shocked me as well. The house was back on daft at a massively increased rent.
Mm.
It was an increase of €709 from the rent I was paying. Now, I don't know what happened between the time I left and the time I saw that on daft. I saw it on daft in November. And strangely enough, it disappeared a couple of days later. But I said to myself, I've had enough, you know, this is a slap in the face, really, because the law says that if I was... The landlord is entitled to put me out of my house if he's genuinely selling it, if he's registered, and if he gives me written notice. And if on the same day he gives me the notice, he gives the same notice to the RTB in writing. That's the law. None of that happened.
Yeah.
So my leaving my house was totally unlawful. So I've tried everything I know to resolve this with this landlord because I really feel we've been wronged. And because we had to move and because we don't have a lot of money, we had to take out a bank loan, which I'm still paying off.
Mm.
But he doesn't engage with me anyway, so he doesn't answer letters or texts.
Is there any call to the RTB? Yeah, and that's...
But the other pertinent thing...
Jack, I was just going to say...
If he puts me out, yeah, the basis of he's selling the house, and he doesn't sell the house, within 9 months he has to offer me back the tenant, which has not happened.
Yeah. But would you want to go back in there, Jack?
Raw deal
would you want to go back in there, though? You would?
Absolutely not, okay.
No.
As I say, I found a lovely little house, and I love it, and all that. And the last thing I need in my life now is stress, and... by going back in there, it's a bad feeling and you're not wanted there, basically.
Yeah. Okay.
But not that he has offered it back, but that's what the law says. If you don't sell it within 9 months, you are obliged to offer it to the previous tenant.
Mm-hmm.
But he certainly wouldn't be able to do it at an increase of €709 a month.
No, of course not.
So I
just wonder, I think...
Not that he would offer it.
Yeah, I just wonder because of the sort of the grey area in it... if that's the out, you know, because... But as you say, if he changed his mind in terms of selling it, then he has to offer it back to you again rather than sort of bump up the rent.
Yeah, that is the law.
Yeah, okay. Right. All right, Jack. Listen, it's an interesting one. I mean, I don't want to pry.
Yeah.
I don't want to pry, but are you renting your current property? Is it registered?
I am, yes. As I say...
So it's registered with the RTB? Okay.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I get you, okay. Right, listen...
But my point in really calling is, Jack, that... Or not Jack...
No, it's okay, Greg, carry on, yep.
Is that anybody renting in Donegal or anywhere else in this country, the first thing they should do is see is that landlord registered.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because if he's not, he's an illegal landlord.
Yeah, I get you, I know.
And that's the first thing they should do to protect themselves. They should know what their rights are. They should know they have to get a rent book. They should know all sorts of things. And not waiting until something happens to find out your landlord wasn't registered.
Okay.
And also, if somebody tells you you have to leave because they're selling the house, they must give it to you in writing in a certain format. They must give it to the RTB on the same day they gave it to you, or it's not a valid notice to quit.
Yeah, it's indeed. You have to...
And if I could digress just for one moment, just for 30 seconds, I mentioned I had prostate cancer. Any man of a certain age, please go and get a PSA test. it saved my life, and it's nothing. It's a blood test. It's over in 30 seconds, and it's worth doing, because only for I found out by accident, but only for that I'd be dead right now. So any man of over 50, say, or I'm 76, as I say. I was 73 when I got the prostate cancer. But a simple test could save your life. So thank you for listening to me, Greg.
Okay, now listen, and happy Christmas to you and your wife. I really do appreciate you speaking to us and spreading the word out there. Look after yourselves. I'm joined in studio by Paddy Rooney, who is Chair of Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital. Good morning, Paddy.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good. Great to have you with us. And Alan McCrae, who's the draw coordinator for Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital. Good morning to you, Alan. Thanks for calling
in. Good morning, Greg.
Right, Paddy, do you want to run us through this draw? Because we're going to do the draw live, which is really exciting.
Well, indeed. Thank you. Greg, we are, the Friends of the Hospital is a registered charity. I know we share a lot of the title with the hospital, and all of the money that we raise goes straight back into the hospital. All of the people that are involved in the Friends are all volunteers, so we have very little cost. So we're a registered charity, and we're subject to all the regulations of the charity regulator. The Friends celebrated its 33rd year this year. It's in the go for since 1992. And I suppose, as well as thanking Highland Radio for giving us this opportunity to get a bit of publicity, it's an opportunity to me, I suppose, to thank the very many people that's involved in this. We have nine directors. We're obliged to have them by the charity regulator. We also have a fundraising committee. Alan here coordinates two draws for us throughout the year. I suppose I must give an opportunity, because we don't get an opportunity very often to say this. You know, Farn Rorty acts as our auditor, has been doing it for the last 20 years. We have VP McMullins, the legal, provides us with some legal advice whenever we need it, and they get our lottery licence. And so there's a lot of people involved in this, as I say. Do you want me to give you a piece about where all this came from?
Or of course, yeah.
Sure, yeah, okay. So
I want to give you, I've made enough time to afford
you the time. Yeah, that's lovely. The whole thing, I don't think there's any of us that are involved in the Friends now, with the exception, Ian, I suppose, of councillor, or former councillor Ian McGarvey, that are all of the people that are involved now weren't involved then, 33 years ago. And I suppose the country was very different then as it was now. It actually coincided with a period of time where there was a lot of new hospital consultants appointed, and they came from outside. And there was a group of surgeons and radiologists in particular, and they came from hospitals with a lot of more gadgets and a lot of more things than the hospital were have. So the money wasn't actually forthcoming for the things that they needed or wanted, that they were trained to do in. And the general manager at the time, Pat Harvey, and the director of nursing, Jim Brown, were very charismatic and get-up-go guys. And I suppose they were putting their heads together about, you can either do one of two things. You can ask for public funding and you can wait for it, or you can do something else about it. And they got the services of Noel O'Connell, who was the manager of the local AIB branch at the time, also a very charismatic, can-do guy. And they put a fundraising committee together. And the very first CT scanner was bought for the hospital in, I think, 1996.
Was this happening elsewhere, Paddy?
No, because I know whenever I became involved in the hospital in around 2001, there was efforts made to actually replicate this kind of fundraising committee in other hospitals down the Western Seaboard, but they had sort of varying degrees of success. Some of the big hospitals in Dublin, we'll say, for instance, like Crumlin have it, but they have a lot of high-profile public, like the late Gay Byrne, for instance. People like that would be involved, plus the fact that they have actually paid fundraisers, so we're nowhere near as sophisticated as that. And then it took legs from there. Yeah. The MRI scanner came. Oh, these are very big ticket items. We were instrumental at the time then in getting the acute mental health unit refurbished at another $750,000.
And was this match funding? Did it end up being like that, or were these developments primarily funded?
Yeah, it was. So we would have given something like about 30% of the capital costs for the mental health unit, and then the rest of it came from public
funding.
And the
bottom line was, is this was a way of getting them over the line.
Yes,
you know, whether we should have to or not, this is where we're at. Sure. Just got these pieces of equipment, these renovations, these developments over the line that they, you know, they may have happened down the line. But
they would
this
have, yeah,
expedited
yeah,
things.
Because Letterkenny, I think, if I'm up to date on this, is the only Band 3 hospital in the country with two functional CT scanners. We bought scanner number one and three, the taxpayer bought number two. And of course, you're familiar with our story about the cardiac cath unit. That was funded entirely by the people that are involved in the Friends of the hospital. And it's only one of two hospitals in the Western region, Galway being the other, that have that facility.
Alan, this only works though with people getting involved, right? I'm not on about the charity itself and the volunteers that do amazing stuff, but the public that buy into this too and help support these initiatives.
The public are very generous. We have been round various shops selling, and the people are so generous. Even whenever we used to go into the hospital, people are very decent. And there was a guy who came in to me last year, and he was in probably about 10 times, and every time out with a fiver, he says, "There you go, Alan, fair play to you." Yeah. And people are like that. They are very generous.
And the reason is that, obviously, and I say this on the programme regularly, but not everybody hears it all of the time. Obviously, in any big organisation, there are gaps, there are issues, there are things that need to be addressed. There are people's experience that we are here to sort of platform, and maybe we've played our role in some advances as well. But a lot of people have a very positive experience as well, and that should never be forgotten in terms of getting in there, getting looked after, and getting out. And that's what you do then. You feel generous because you realise that it's a great facility in that regard. We're going to do the draw now, and then we'll see how much time we have for conversation. So I don't think... My personal thing with draws is I like to go with the lower prize first and then build up to the top prize. I note that others prefer to go with the top prize because if you're really lucky, right, you should come out first. So, Alan, as the experienced draw coordinator, I'm going to bow to your authority. Do you want to start at the fourth prize or do you want to start at the first prize?
Well, I've already said that I would start with the bottom and work
up. Well, me and you are like-minded. So, right, so shall we, who's going to do the pulling out?
I have a wee bit to say, just thank people.
Take your time, Alan, go ahead.
Okay. First of all, it's only right that I should thank people. And this year we've had a serious problem because of the flu and all in the hospital. We've hardly even been able to get into the hospital. So I'd like to thank the five supermarkets where we sold tickets, Cairn Supermarkets in both Remelton and Newton Cunningham, Super Value in Balmafay, Cosgrove's in the Mountain Top, and Horsky's in Remelton. And the people of who donated in those days were so generous, I could not believe what was actually happening. So I'd like to also thank all the people who helped and sold me tickets who are maybe not part of the Friends of the Hospital, but who are, they're nearly scared when they see me coming on at Christmas and Easter. They know rightly what I'm coming to them for. And they sell a lot of tickets. Now, this year, we only made 8,350 because we only get into the hospital for a week, right? So the rest was all sold in the shops, which was brilliant. And I mean, I worked out that we would have maybe got 20,000 this year if we had stayed in the hospital, but we didn't.
But all things being as they are, that's a lovely amount of money to be pulling together.
It is indeed. It is indeed. And so we'll have to make this up some way. So maybe some of the public might help. And by the way, we do need new members in the committee.
Mm-hmm.
We are all getting a bit old. I'm talking for the rest of them, not for me.
He's looking at me when he's saying that.
Exactly.
Anyway,
you give me the side eye, all right, Paddy.
Yeah. I'd like to start the draw, right, and I'm going to start at fifth prize.
Fifth, right, okay.
Now, and I'm going to read out, this is from, as you mentioned, a person who's very appreciative of the wonderful care that her husband received during his illness, in particular the staff of ICU, Paul McPeter, and the rehabilitation in St. Connell's, right? And that's from Maura Higgerty from Maura, Bain Avoy Drumcane, and it's a lovely, lovely Christmas cake. So this is the fifth prize.
And he's in. He's in. The cake is here as well, too, by the way.
And this first prize is John Irwin.
John Irwin's won the Christmas cake. Well, right. John.
I can confidently tell you that he's from Rimelton.
Okay. Right.
Unless that proves to be wrong, right?
Prize number four.
Prize number four is a £50 voucher from Max Deli. So, Mac, I'd like to thank you. I call it Max Mace.
Yeah.
And the winner is Philip Gallagher.
Philip Gallagher. Well done, Philip. He's got a nice little treat coming his way. Now, third prize is a Christmas hamper, and this is a very luxurious Christmas hamper.
Yes, and it's sponsored by Cosgrove's Centre of the Mountaintop.
Well,
so they're
done,
very
Cosgroves.
Decent to us. Okay,
well,
so thank you. And
he's digging deep here now. And who's the winner of the hamper?
Summer Dillon.
Lovely. I love the name.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Okay, lovely, Summer.
I mean, the name is very convincing. Now, this is a prize we've been getting regularly now, so I'd like to thank Mark Wheeler and Rathbone House.
This is a cracker too, a very worthy second prize. Two nights, bed and breakfast in the beautiful Rathbone House. I think we all want this one. Come on. Alan, nice and deep. He's like Santa here. The beard needs to grow out a bit, though.
Mm. Right, Siobhan Frill.
Well done, Siobhan. You have won the two nights B&B in Rathmullen House, and thank you so much for supporting the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital. And the top prize
is the fridge freezer. And what I'd like to say, look, David Crumlish has been very good through the years.
Crumlish Electricals, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and has always supplied the top prize with us, and it's a fantastic prize. Anybody who gets a fridge freezer at Christmas, I'll tell you, they're lucky people.
Yeah, okay, it's a cracker. Who's going to get the fridge freezer from Crumlish? And again, a big thanks to all of the sponsors of these great prizes as well. Who is it, Alan? Bated breath here. Come on.
Jade Quigley,
well done, Jade. Fridge freezer, nice one. All right, okay, so that's
it, eh? Thank you.
All right, Paddy's done due diligence, and he can confirm that the draw is official.
Yeah, so once again, I'd like to thank everybody who bought tickets. And there were even quite a few, I may say, who said, right, now we don't gamble. My first answer to that was, well, it's not really a gamble, you're not going to win.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, lads, keep up the fantastic work, not just yous, but everyone involved in the committee. As you say, many hands make light work, so we can, if someone wants to get involved, we can pass on the details. Paddy, sure. Last word to you.
Yeah, just thank you very much. I mean, we're conscious of the fact that there's a lot of other charitable organisations who are out there who are collecting money like ourselves. And it's we're all fighting for a bit of publicity, and we're all fighting for the same money. So thank you and your team, Greg, for highlighting our efforts today.
Of course not. Anything we can do to help, of course. All right, thank you very much, gentlemen. That's Paddy Rooney, Alan McRae, and they are, respectively, Chair of Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital and Draw Coordinator for Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital. Congratulations to all the winners.